Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In 49 other states, football is just a game. But this is Wisconsin.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy is coming home.
Wisconsin fans demand the best. The best analysis. The best interviews. The best coverage. And no one delivers like the Bill Michaels Huddle.
Welcome. We are broadcasting live at the New Berlin Ale House, our final huddle of the season, and we are brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light. If you want to come on by and say hello, we're here until 8 o'clock this evening. I'm Bill Michaels, alongside Bart Winkler from our flagship station out of Milwaukee, 105.7 FM, The Fan, and the morning show. He is here. We're going to be joined coming up here in just a little bit by Baby Tausch. Billy Schmidt is going to be here as well. Packers season comes to an end. The 49ers and the Chiefs are going to square off at Super Bowl 54 coming up a week from Sunday down in Miami, Florida, in Hard Rock Stadium. And Bart, all this week the talk has been about the Packers losing this game and how they lost this game and the people they need to win this game moving forward and the whether they should or shouldn't keep Mike Pettine around. And and I was listening to you guys, you know, negotiate all of this, and people want Mark Murphy out, and at least there's passion.
Oh, we got, and I'm sure you did too, we got an arrangement of everything. We had one caller call us up from Texas today on Chuck and Winkler and say, Goody doesn't put in the work.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
This team's a mess. So there's, you know, you'd start to figure out where to pick up the pieces. I would love for us to be able to redo the open to the show. You heard Joe Buck on the Super Bowl call. That was 10 years ago now. Yeah. And I think we all thought when Aaron was up there on that stage with Clay Matthews and that, you know, picture that we've all got burned into our heads, I think we've all thought, I mean, as soon as that game ended, I was talking to friends, my brothers, my dad, just one of many to come in the Aaron Rodgers era, just one of many. And here we are, Bill, 10 years later, new head coach, we've got a new GM, new, you know, coaching staff all over the place, pretty much new players except for, you know, a couple, Aaron Rodgers being the main point. But they're still just the one, and they haven't even got back to that. And now a third NFC Championship game in 6 years where you fall short. And you got to wonder, will this team with Rodgers ever get back to that point and get back to that stage?
I look at this team where they're at, and I think of the years that Ted just kind of thought, let Aaron go win us one, and didn't really surround him with the defense. But I was going through the salary cap. And Aaron's salary actually goes down next year. It goes down about $8 million. It's not until 2021 that it goes up to $36 or $38 million. So if I'm Gutekunst, I'm looking at that. Some of the guys you're going to replace, some of the money you have, and $10 million is going to be added to your salary cap this year for all teams through the NFL. This is where I think I might push my chips to the middle of the table. He's still going to be 36, 37 years old. Still good. You got to get a guy alongside or two alongside Devontae. We all know that. But if you're going to do it, this is the year to do it, to spend the extra money and get a few of these guys and then some of these contracts that you can maybe yank them in. Because you're not going to be able to do it after he hits $36, $37, $8 million.
No, and if you want someone who can do what Aaron Rodgers did, and this is just looking at the playoffs, I mean, you can find someone to do that for a lot cheaper of the price. Let's face it. Where Rodgers has played, and we all – it's Aaron Rodgers, and we all give him the benefit of the doubt, and he still can make some throws that maybe one or two other quarterbacks can make, and he still has all the trust in all of us in, you know, the fourth quarter on these drives. But for $38 million, you know, that you could find someone to do the same thing for cheaper and boost the rest of the team around him. You look at this year, and I agree with you. I think every single move they make needs to be a move that says they're going to win the Super Bowl in 2020 outside of one. I do think they need to find a quarterback in the draft. Now, it doesn't have to be the heir apparent, but it's got to be someone who can at least contend to that.
Do you not like what you saw to Tim Boyle in the preseason?
Tim Boyle's not the guy.
I'm just asking. Because if you're not going to draft the heir apparent, then you're just drafting another guy.
Well, it's not Tim Boyle.
Right.
So I'm thinking, like, who's Jordan Love? Everyone's in love with Jordan Love. I mean, if one of these guys at quarterback, the top three guys fall, it's a no-brainer.
I'm not. Well, yeah. I mean, if you get one of the, you know, Joe Burrow or
but I would look. I would look second. I would look day two, maybe early day three, for a quarterback. Other than that, everything else has to be somebody that you're going to used to win a Super Bowl this year, and they didn't really even do that last year. Last year, we all think they had a good draft, but a lot of the guys there were maybe longer-term investments. You look at who they had at pick 12, Rashawn Gary. I like Rashawn Gary. I think he's going to be good. I think him sitting behind the Smith brothers is going to be...
It probably helped him. But
it's going to be great for him.
But when he did get in, he wasn't overwhelming.
Oh, sure, because that's at number 12, which you like never get for the Packers. That's a long-term pick. And you can't do that. If you were going to take Rashawn Gary at 12, why didn't you just take one of the quarterbacks available at 12?
Right.
I mean, honestly, if you're going to take Rashawn Gary there, if you're going to take a project, you're looking back, well, now you've got, you know, you should have took a quarterback. And the way, don't assume either, and it's likely that it happens, but don't assume that Aaron Rodgers sees that part of that contract. They designed that. So, and then there will be dead cap. There will be part of it, but it won't be as much as it would be like right now. They front-loaded the hell out of that thing. He got paid. Don't assume that Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback the year after next if he struggles or even, you know, is close to what he was this year. The stats are great. 4,000 yards, you know, four interceptions, 20-some touchdowns. The stats are great. But if that was Aaron Rodgers of 2011, this team is playing next Sunday.
Here's the thing that I want people to realize, too, is this year everybody keeps saying, well, the draft is loaded with wide receivers, and that's true.
Yeah,
I don't deny that. But take the best one available. Don't say, well, it's loaded, so we're going to get one in the third and fourth round. Go get a guy that can be a difference maker now. You're going to have to get somebody in free agency as well, but go get a guy that can be a difference maker
so 30,
right now.
So 30, you want a receiver?
I want the best available player.
Yeah, I want a guy. I want a receiver.
If that's a quarterback that's fallen, take him. But if it's a receiver, if it's a middle linebacker, I want the best available football player for that position.
I want a guy that'll start.
Right.
Exactly. Ideally, it's a receiver, but it does need to be a guy that will start. Because, again, what they did last year in the draft, and I like Rashawn Gary, caveat there. How often do the Packers pick as high as 12? If they're going all in, there's so many impact guys. There's going to be an impact guy at 30. At 30, there's going to be a guy that's going to be a starter for this football team. There's a boatload of talent in college, and you're going to have the 30th choice.
You
had the 12th choice, and you didn't take a starter.
Would you take J.K. Dobbins if he was there?
Running back?
Because of his size, he might be. Now, add him to the mix that you already have.
Taylor could be there.
Right?
There could be. I mean, running backs will fall, so Jonathan Taylor could be there. I think that they got to maybe not go running back. If there's a guy there and you really like him, you can maybe talk me into it. But at 30, is J.K. Dobbins going to start over Aaron Jones? Okay, and then if he is, well, why do you have Aaron Jones? You need a guy that is going to start and start over someone who's starting now that is bad.
We'll know better. One of the other guys, and I was paying attention to, Kenny Murray, the linebacker from Oklahoma. That was another kid that I was reading about who has, like, as they say, rocketed up for whatever reason since the school got done, you know, playing football. And that's another guy, an inside linebacker, that he could be there. He's listed to be there at 30, one of the top 30 players. He might be a guy, good speed, not burning speed, though. And my question always is, if you're going to get a linebacker and you don't have 4.4 speed at linebacker, is he going to keep up with the running backs and keep up with the slot receivers and the receivers coming out of the backfield or coming out of the slot, should I say, across the middle? Is he going to be able to cover? Because the guy's got to be able to cover. That's one of the biggest things that the Packers did not have this year was the ability to cover at the middle linebacking position.
I'm going to go back and just say no to J.K. Dobbins now that I think about it. And maybe you get a guy like that out of Oklahoma. But I think at least with this Packers offseason, where they're at, it's pretty cut and dry what they need. I mean, we can ask anybody here at this bar, what do the Packers need?
Right.
They need a wide receiver, another offensive weapon. They need an inside linebacker, a linebacker with speed. They need somebody on the defensive line to put next to Kenny Clark and stop the run. I mean, those are the needs. So focus, the needs are clear. It's not like 2 years ago where, oh, geez, let's just, I mean, any guy we draft is going to help us. We've got so many needs. I think the needs are focused and the needs are clear, so I would stay with one of those positions. And if they like that linebacker, he's got to be fast enough. I mean, yeah. They need speed. They got torched. Raheem Mostert torched him, and if it wasn't him, it would have been Coleman. And if it wasn't him, it would have been Matt Breida, who might be the fastest of the three. So they definitely need speed, and at least we know into this offseason what the positions are, what kind of players they want and they need.
Let's go ahead and take a quick break. We are broadcasting live at the New Berlin Ale House. If you want to come out and say hello, also get registered tonight, the final time for the big screen TV that we're giving away. Compliments to Chris and the gang at ABC Audio Video. Chris will have that thing installed in your home in time for the big game. The 55-inch television that they are going to be giving away here this evening, and it will draw a name coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. We will try to get a hold of that winner. If they're not here, we'll give them a buzz and see what we can do about bringing a little joy into somebody's life tonight as we wind down on the season for the Bill Michaels Huddle, which is brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. We got more coming up right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Richard Sherman gets his fourth in his postseason career and ends this game. San Francisco going to the Super Bowl with a big win tonight over Green Bay.
It's hard to get back to these games. You know, I've been to four NFC championships in 14 years. You know, I feel like that we can get back there, put in the work, and see what happens.
Welcome back to the program. We are glad to have you. Those are the words of Tremont Williams. We're broadcasting live the Bill Michaels Huddle tonight, brought to you by Bud Light out here at the New Berlin Ale House. If you want to come on out, plenty of room out here and terrific food. We got out here earlier and ate today. So we were asked about first-year head coaches that took their teams to the Super Bowl. Jim Harbaugh had a 13-3 season. He fell in the championship game. Rex Ryan had a good season his first year. George Seifert inherited the Super Bowl winning Joe Montana-led San Francisco 49ers, inherited that team that just had won a Super Bowl and then went and won another one in 1989 with Montana in his first year as a head coach. Jim Caldwell, when he got Peyton Manning after Tony Dungy left. Jim Harbaugh, well on his way to getting his deal when he was taking the 49ers his first year, but nobody ever went and won it. Jim Mora Jr. took the Atlanta Falcons to the NFC title game in his first season in 2004, lost to Philadelphia. Steve Mariucci took a fantastic San Francisco team led by Hall of Fame quarterbacks. It resulted in an NFC championship game loss to Green Bay. They lost to the Packers that year. Sean Payton, his first year with the Saints, went all the way to the conference title game just a year after they had a 13-loss season. So a lot of guys that first-year head coach, they had a success, got maybe to a conference championship, but only George Seifert went to a Super Bowl and he won it.
Let me ask you this, and it's good to be at the New Berlin Ale House, by the way, where I was with you 2 years ago when we found out that Lorenzo Cain signed and Christian Yelich was traded. So if the Brewers can pull off some moves like that, that would be the night to do it because their team's going to suck.
The
regardless.
Brewers?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay.
They're going to be terrible.
Okay.
Take the under. They're going to be really bad. Don't even go to games.
Oh,
I shouldn't
God.
Say that. But, okay, there's bobbleheads. Anyway, with Matt LaFleur, first-year head coach, we did not expect him to go to the Super Bowl. Now, it would have been nice, right?
Right.
But we did not certainly expect it. It would have been a surprise. With how he took his team to where he did, and the result that you got and the performance that you got. I think that we've been talking about Mark Murphy and Mike Pettine and Aaron Rodgers. Matt LaFleur is not getting a lot of maybe criticism this week because he's got that first-year sort of free pass. If Matt LaFleur was even a second-year head coach and he took this team back to San Francisco and had that performance, we would be grilling this guy
right,
and maybe calling for his head. when you're a head coach and you're a game away from the Super Bowl and that's the performance you give, I do think a lot of it's on Pettin because they just ran it. You knew it was happening. But at the end of it, LaFleur is the main guy in charge. Maybe we've got to look more this week about how he didn't have his team ready.
Right. Well, here's the thing. Were you surprised that, by the way, Baby Tausch, Billy Schmidt, now joining us here at the table as well, coming off of the afternoon show from 105.7 FM The Fan. How you doing?
Good, guys. How you doing?
We're doing good. We're doing real good.
You weren't in your car a minute ago?
I just pulled in.
Okay, because I just said don't go to Brewer games this year.
Oh, yeah, that's why I rocked it. I knew Bart was really, really excited about the Milwaukee Brewers. That's why I wanted to rock it. We're ready to go. 50th anniversary of Brewers baseball, baby.
I almost wore my same one like that, but different.
I'm glad you didn't, because I wouldn't have liked to sit here and have Bill be the only one that looked like any class.
I'm my own fashion, that's for sure. So here's the thing. So were you surprised that LaFleur kind of opened up and said how disappointed he was that his team didn't play with more effort and energy?
I was stunned. And when you look at the rest of the year in totality, I thought there were going to be a couple of games that LaFleur cost them throughout the year, just on a learning curve. I mean, he's only calling plays for the second time. And we know and we've learned that the open and honesty and the candidness in those press conferences, he's not great in front of the media. He's too open, right? And then maybe there's a little bit of media training that goes on later on in his career as the coach, but there's so much time to reflect on that and voice those frustrations with the guys before training camp, not 2 days after in the media. But he is coming fresh off of his exit interviews with all those guys. To me, Bill, it felt like if he went out and said it in front of the media, he heard it from too many different players.
He hopefully he said it to guys behind closed doors,
right,
too.
And, and mentioned it and said, guys, this is what I saw. I don't know what you saw out of the tape, but that's what I saw. I need to know how we correct that, because that could never happen again.
I have to admit, I enjoyed the candidness. I mean, you don't normally hear that, you know. But what I saw was, and I heard a great description of this today, was a lot of guys that thought the other guy would get it done. A lot of guys kind of going, nah, not me. I'll wait and make the tackle.
That's weird.
It was weird.
That's weird with this team.
It was weird.
Because whenever they're given the opportunity, and it's kind of like how Giannis was a couple of years ago, he would just out of nowhere say, I love Milwaukee. I'm going to stay here forever. We're like, nobody asked you.
Right.
Oh, I don't care. I love it.
Right.
He hasn't said that as much lately. But with this Packer team, every time you talk to somebody, oh, gosh, this is the greatest group of guys I've ever been around. Oh, we were just asking about how you stop Raheem Mostert. But okay. Yeah, I love these guys. We're all brothers in here. It's like a family. Okay, so to have a unit that's that connected, and then you're assuming that the other guy's going to step it up, isn't that in football? You play for the guy next to you? Why weren't they doing that then?
Because they're waiting for the guy next to them.
Right.
I mean, there was times where guys just didn't get off blocks. But there were times I'm thinking to myself, downfield, you're watching guys kind of running with a running back and not tackling a running back. And one of the things that I thought was interesting was brought up was Mike Florio. And I'm not a huge Mike Florio fan, mm-hmm. but he did bring up a very good point. He said, there was the insertion of nasty again, of physicality. And with teams not hitting, not taking to the ground, doing it on limited times, you only get so many of those practices, that when you get a team that is like just playing with a reckless abandon, almost just a crazed look in their eye and they want to run you over, you don't deal with that enough anymore. So you don't handle it very well. And the Packers didn't handle it very well.
You don't get punched in the mouth as consistently as you used to, right? And back in the day, you were able to callous your body is the one that I always heard from football coaches. Didn't make much sense. I mean, I still got hurt week six, or if it was the second day
right.
of camp. But you learn how to take those hits and see that. The part of it that I thought was so interesting, guys, is you go back and watch that offense. It's a 2020 version of the triple option that you just don't see at this level anymore. And when you're scheming to try to beat a triple option attack, it's everybody has to be so alignment assignment sure that you can't overplay a gap. You have to be able to set your edge and be ready for somebody else to go make the play. And like you said, it plays into they were waiting for somebody else. I'm doing my job. Where's the next guy?
Right.
I'm not supposed to fill on this play. I'm supposed to watch out the fake.
It just looked like guys were just I never question harder effort. It just looked like guys were outmanned.
They just got stomped.
I don't know how else to put it. And guys get pissed off when you say that, but that's the truth. It just looked like they got completely outmanned and out-schemed a bit.
To see your best defensive player, Za'Darius Smith, just get owned consistently by George Kittle.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's tough.
That was some eye-opening tape when you watch it back.
And those are the plays, right? Those are the matchups going into the week that you thought it comes down to Kittle against Za'Darius Smith. I know that dude's a first-team All-Pro, but we thought this guy's an All-Pro. You should be able to win that matchup more than you saw him win it maybe 10% of the time.
Well, we're going to go and take a quick break coming up here, but we are broadcasting live here at the New Berlin Ale House. Come on in. They got games on. They've got some of the TNT stuff on, some college hoops. A lot of golf, a lot of figure skating with a couple that just got done figure skating, and their manager looks like one of the nemesises to Batman.
No, he looks like a pilgrim. Look at that belt buckle. He looks like he was at the second Thanksgiving.
He could be on his way to build a barn, raise a barn later on today. We're not quite sure what the hell they're watching. But come on in anyway. Hang out with us tonight. It's brought to you by Bud Light, as always. And in addition,
it's Heisenberg. That guy looks like Heisenberg.
Yeah, well, he's going to lift a Hofbräu later tonight, that's for sure. But come on by and say hi. We'd be glad to have you. And then don't forget, tonight we're giving away the big screen TV coming up a little bit later on this evening as well. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Huddle next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
You know, you got to give San Francisco credit. They definitely outcoached us. And I just didn't feel like we played with the same urgency, the same tenacity, the same toughness. We didn't set the edge the same as we had been earlier this season. You know, it's disappointing because it's not like we didn't know what they were going to try to do. We knew exactly what they were going to try to do. We knew they were going to run the football. For them to be able to do that was extremely disappointing. I just didn't think we played with the same effort as what I had seen earlier in the season.
Welcome back to the program. Those are the words of Matt LaFleur talking about his team, but wasn't the same effort, just what we were discussing. He was not happy, and he let it be known, and little surprising, but he did what he did. And now the Packers continue to move on. They figure out what they're going to do this coming offseason, what players they're going to keep, what players they're going to go ahead and let walk into free agency, if they're going to cut a few guys loose. And then on top of that, who they're going to pick up to kind of fill the bill. Baby Tausch alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. Also, Bart Winkler is here from 105.7 FM, The Fan, out of Milwaukee. So we'll pick up where we left off talking about Matt LaFleur. You heard him right there. He said, you know, we didn't play with the same energy, the same enthusiasm, whatever his specific adjectives were.
Oh, even energy and effort.
Energy
and
effort.
Call back to the Jason Kidd days.
Yeah, right, right.
I heard you say that, and I was just dying.
Oh, I was so mad.
It rings in your ears. It could have been like a text tone.
Energy and effort. Energy and effort. Oh, gosh. Yeah, we heard that.
How about that as your 4 a.m. wake-up call?
Energy and effort. Because I said something. I go, Chuck, did you hear he said energy and effort? And Chuck goes, oh, I was so mad when he said it. Like, Chuck got mad. Oh, my goodness. But, LaFleur, say whatever words you want. He's right. That game, when you go look back at it, I wanted them to go on the 4th-and-1. Okay, they didn't. But then the next drive, it's a 3rd-and-8. And we were watching the game at the studio. And the 3rd-and-8, it was early. It was a 9 or 2nd drive. And you thought, and I tweeted this. I said, this is going to, whatever happens here, this is going to be the game. It's just, there's a feel to it. And then it's not a pass. It's not a play action. It's not a rollout. It's a draw play.
They don't
just get the first down.
Touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Mostert goes into the end zone. And right then, if you're at home and you thought, well, this one is over, then you are 95% of the people that were watching that game. Because you see right away, the Niners were going to be the better team.
The worst part about it was, and this was the frustrating part for me, Kyle Shanahan, I mean, when he says outcoached, he got them onto their worst personnel package, Bill, on the field. When B.J. Goodson and Tyler Lancaster are both going to be on the field in base defense,
right,
that's when they're going to be most susceptible. And if you can get them out on the edge, they're going to dash you all day. They have Kittle against Shandon Sullivan. That's no matchup. You knew that was one-on-one. And it was that feeling where, after the punt and you don't score on your first drive, you say, I like them going 90. I don't think they can consistently go 90 on you.
Right.
And you saw that in whatever it was,
they can
six
run
plays,
90.
That they can run 90 on you real quick.
The offense as well didn't fare very well. I went back and watched the All-22, and there were times where they had five guys up front, coming. They would drop a tackle and bring two linebackers from the opposite side. So you still had the same amount to block, but the defensive tackle would not only drop, he would drop and cover where the linebackers on the opposite side of the field were. First of all, the team speed amazed me. But they always rushed four or five. It wasn't like they were doing anything spectacular in that row, but they confused the pass. Yes. There was twice Billy Turner had no idea who he's picking up.
Yep.
One time Jamal Williams was trying to pick up two guys coming through, and you could see guys weren't blocking anybody.
And when you're sliding.
They didn't have anybody, but you're sliding down, and you're not quite sure. Brian Bulaga's sliding out. He's getting the outside backer. But it happened two or three times. And then, obviously, they showed Aaron Rodgers and the drop fumble on the snap, which, you know, was Aaron Rodgers' fault. And then they showed the – now, I will say I took it back when I went back and looked, because that pass to Geronimo Allison that ended up getting picked was completely Geronimo Allison's fault. He overran the zone. The play itself set up with a crossing.
He never even looked back, did he?
He never looked back.
No, so odd.
He should have sat in the zone. He should have understood that the corner sat on him and sat back. The other safety had trailed off to the right, so there was a zone for him to go and sit in, and it would have been a first down. Instead, he just kept running.
Kept going.
He just kept running. And then Rodgers, and the only reason I can tell you that is because Rodgers threw the ball before Geronimo even thought of looking backwards.
And that was the back shoulder that killed teams all the time.
And he threw it to the zone that was open. That play was designed for him to get to the zone and sit in the zone. So for as much as we said, my God, it was a terrible pass by Rodgers, it really wasn't. It was a pass to a zone that Geronimo didn't recognize the read.
Geronimo has no future with this team. I mean, he just was not the guy that we needed him to be. And I just, so you know, I say we, I'm an owner, just in case anyone wants to question that. So he was not – I mean, I remember 2 years ago, Geronimo Allison had a game where he's like 4 for 40, and we're saying, there's the heir apparent to Randall Cobb.
Yeah.
We were running Randall Cobb out before, you know, he eventually did. And it just – that was really like his best game that he's ever had. And then you have Marquez Valdes-Scantling, where one of the things I like to do is go back and just think of a game in my head and go back and look at the box score and be surprised by something. So for when Kaepernick ran all over us in 2012, we went back and looked at that box score, and we thought, oh, my God, Frank Gore also had 100 yards in addition to Kaepernick's 180. In this game, we're going to go back and look at two things. 8 pass attempts for Jimmy Garoppolo, and Marquez Valdes-Scantling had 1 snap.
Right.
The guy played 1 snap. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
And it makes you think if that's coaching or if that's from the top. And Brian Gutekunst saying, I know that guy's not going to produce.
Right.
If you put that dude onto the field, it's a matchup nightmare.
So then where was the upgrade at any point in the season?
Well,
it's the same thing. And I heard you guys talking about
Ryan Grant, who never saw the
field.
Who
was never active. And for all the midseason moves, the Jared Valdir, the Tyler Irvin, the ones that worked, there was that one that could never get on the field. And it's still the product of... I heard you guys having the wide receiver conversation earlier. It's 2 drafted wide receivers on this team that were active for the majority of the year. A second-round pick in Devontae Adams and a fifth-round pick in MVS. And otherwise, it was undrafted Jay Kumerow, undrafted Alan Lazard, undrafted Geronimo Allison. And even, too, what was Tonyan? Was he picked or was he an undrafted guy as well? You're looking at so many pass catchers that were not taken in those 7 picks. It really shows the void that was left there.
It was not only shows the void, but the fact that – and those are Goody guys.
Right.
You know,
and the
that's first – yeah. So, and the other guy that you were missing that you really were kind of counting on to be the kind of the crossover, the middle guy, was Equanimeous St. Brown, who never found the field because he got injured.
Yeah, that hurt. That did hurt.
So you lost that depth there.
But again, we're talking about a 7th-round pick. Man, it really hurt losing that 7th-round pick at wide receiver.
What hurt you was Jamon Moore was – terrible.
Bad, yeah.
Marquez Valdes-Scantling, you fall in love with speed, and speed is great, but if you can't catch a football, and I was really wrong because I really thought he would shine this year, and I don't know what happened to Geronimo. I don't know if it was confidence
or what.
It's
okay, Bill. I once said that Devontae Adams should be traded.
I
thought it was cut.
I was in training
cut
camp.
Cut or traded
okay,
for a 6th-rounder in year 2 preseason.
I was in training camp last year listening to Aaron Rodgers praise Geronimo Allison, watching him go up and get balls above receivers. He fell once right next to the concrete at Hinkle Field, and everybody gasped, and he got up, and he shook it off, and he came back and had 2 more touchdown catches that day. And it was like, wow, this guy's just good. And then he got the groin injury, I think. Did he get a
hernia?
Or hernia, right.
Yep.
He just was never the same.
You know what? Since you bring that up, I think that we need to stop listening to Rodgers advocate for people. Because Rodgers, in these press conferences, is it's very weird, the trends that I've noticed. He'll advocate for everybody. Basically, he wants to see everybody do well. I mean, he's been advocating for Kumerow for 2 years. Kumerow's done nothing. And then I don't know if you guys have picked up on this. Rodgers and the relationships, Rodgers falls for guys quickly in that locker room. He called Jimmy Graham his best friend this year. Jimmy Graham's your best friend? He was in love with Martellus Bennett, and like his whole outlook on life changed. And then Bennett left. And then he's talking about how much he loves Big Dog.
That's the reason he doesn't believe in God anymore, because Martellus
Bennett. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you want to do that.
Isn't that a ridiculous story?
That's our number two. But Rodgers, I mean.
The Danica podcast.
Everyone's his best friend, and he thinks everyone should get paid. And I don't know what's going on there, but every time I hear him talk about guys, I'm no longer going to be like, oh, well, Geronimo Allison has the support of Rodgers. Let's pay him. I'm going to be like, that guy, that's just Rodgers. He's just in love with
everybody. Well, he's very passive-aggressive, too. I mean, like, if you really want to think about the guys that he's advocated for in the past, yes, he does end up featuring them a little bit. But then, too, you still see the Jeff Janis that it's only the time when I need to throw it to somebody because there's 37 seconds left in this game. I'll throw it 55 yards down the field to 83. Otherwise, you never see him again.
Right, right. No, completely agree. I did like the fact that they ran the ball this year. I did like the fact that Aaron Jones emerged, stuck to it. They were a little bit better than 50-50, but, hey, it's the closest to 50-50 we've come in 10 years. So I like the fact that they did it that way. But, you know, they would have thrown the ball had they had different weapons, I believe. And here's the other question, and I asked Boomer Esiason this today, where I said, if Rodgers gets a veteran wideout, say they go get another guy, say for whatever reason Gutekunst wakes up tomorrow and goes, you know what, I'm buying Amari Cooper. Okay?
Yeah.
And then you get a couple of draft choices. Is Rodgers going to throw to him? Does Rodgers become a better quarterback than what we witnessed this year and last year? Does he go back to being the Aaron that we know?
Sure.
Or do we then look and say, uh-oh, it's not the wideouts or the talent. It's the quarterback.
I think it's going to be consistently more intermediate passing that you see a reaction and an understanding that these dudes know the routes and I don't have to worry about them missing the zone. I don't have to worry about their landmark being 4.5 yards when I'm throwing a 2-yard drag route. That part of it, I think, is true. But there is also going to be some self-scout that Aaron Rodgers has to do, guys. And later on in your career, one of the reasons why Peyton Manning was still able to throw the ball and orchestrate an offense when he couldn't throw the ball more than 17 yards was because he had some of the best footwork we've ever seen at the quarterback spot. Aaron's never had really good footwork, but it's been something that we've always marveled at, right? And his ability to throw the ball off balance and still be able to hit the windows. I'm interested to see what kind of changes he makes to that part of his game to maximize the arm strength that I still think is really there.
Roethlisberger said it, that his skills began to deteriorate this year, that he noticed he still wants to come back and play, but he's 37.
He's going to have to drop like 100 pounds.
Esiason said that at 37.
Just from his face.
He said it. Esiason said today that when he hit 37, everything just kind of fell off the table. You got Eli Manning retiring, saying 36, 37, it's not that way anymore. So many quarterbacks at this age drop.
Rodgers is going to be 37.
In December.
37. Now, I know our bodies are different, but I'm his age. And I can't even go
different.
Up the stairs without. I'm still. We went bowling Friday. My shins still hurt.
Do you make noise when you try to sit down to go to the bathroom?
Okay, well, I'm 25, and I do that. So, okay, I mean, like,
well,
in that sense, that's a tough test.
You're not playing quarterback for the Packers. That explains why.
But really, I mean, think about it, guys. Tom Brady wrecked this curve. He's the kid in the class that you look at and say, dude, really, a 98 on that final?
41 for Brett
Everyone
Favre.
Everyone else got a 70.
41 for Brett Favre. 41 for Peyton Manning. You know, Warren Moon played till he was 41.
Yep.
So you start looking at guys that they started to push the curve up, and you kind of go, okay, you know, if you take care of yourself, you probably have a little bit of injury time. You take a year off, like Rodgers did. He's got about a year and a half.
You really missed. You really gotta hope too, Bill, that this is Matt LaFleur is Mike Shanahan for a John Elway that says, dude, this is how we're going to balance the football game, and you're going to be able to excel. Still doing what you did, but we both know you can't do what you did at 30.
Yeah, and he doesn't run nearly as much.
Not
as
at all.
Yeah.
And that's where the step has really been lost.
Yeah, that's another thing, because he extended a lot of plays, made a lot of moves, and picked up a lot of first downs with his feet. We are broadcasting live at the New Berlin Ale House. If you want to come out and say hello, it's the Bill Michaels Huddle brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. Come on by tonight. We're giving away the big screen TV, the 55-inch big screen TV, to some lucky winner, whether it's here or somebody that's been at one of the huddles along the way. We're going to give that away later on this evening as well. Stay tuned for that. It's brought to you by our friends at Bud Light and ABC Audio
Video.
What if
they passed away since then?
What's that?
What if the person that wins has passed away since then?
Then it goes in my basement.
then I don't know. There's a battle for the next of kin. I have no idea.
I mean, a September huddle, and they've
been
something
like that. We've been doing this since 99.
Well, because you've been doing the huddle for 5 months.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Maybe you could. I'm not even going to talk about that.
You don't know.
Unbelievable.
So, you know what? Maybe it's a first, and because you're on the show, there's a croaker. Who knows?
I don't know if I'm going to make it to the 55 inch.
Yeah. We got more of the program coming up after this.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
It definitely hurts, I'd say, a little more than early in the career, just because you realize just how difficult it is to get to this spot. And with all the changes this offseason and with all the installation of a new system and a new program, to get to this point, you felt like it was something special because it, you know, just didn't really make sense. Then you realize, I don't have the same number of years ahead of me as I do behind me. So it's slightly more disappointing.
Welcome back to the program. Those are the words of Aaron Rodgers talking about the disappointment. And, the ability now to say, okay, not only did we lose, but it's one more year that has now gone into the rearview mirror for Aaron Rodgers.
That's tough.
So that's one of the concerns, because now you start to look at the window of opportunity and you think, okay, if it is indeed till he's 41, you've got 4 years. That's stretching it.
Oh, for sure.
If you think that it's going to be...
He's not the quarterback at 41 for
if
the
you
Packers,
think it's 40,
no
you've got 3 years. You know, that's what I'm saying. So if you believe that you're in the here and the now, you got to make the move this year, because this is when you're going to have the money. After this year, he starts to get paid an exorbitant amount of money. He goes up to, I think, $36 or $38 million.
If they hang on to him.
They're not
well, they have
cutting
to
Aaron
for the
Rodgers.
Next 2 years. They have to for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
And put it
I
this
would
way.
Just, whenever the out is, be careful.
Watch for what they do, what they did this year, where they were able to convert a bunch of that money into a signing bonus that doesn't go up against the cap. And
right.
He's right now going into next year, read it on the air
it's
the
like
other day.
It's like, million.
Yeah, and he's like the 12th ranked quarterback. I mean, him and Cam Newton are two of the more affordable guys in the NFL. So I think in that standpoint, you're still going to see that number go up. But you're right, Bill, because they're also going to have to start paying some of the good young players they have. They got to sign Kenny Clark. I don't care what anybody says, you got to sign Brian Bulaga, because unless you're going out and signing Jake Conklin, you're not going to upgrade that position, and you're not going to be able to fortify it with a dude that goes up against some of the best pass rushers that this league has to offer week in and week out in the NFC North.
So what do they need the most? I mean, that's where we're at. We're going into the offseason, and Gutekunst is going to sit down and start evaluating talent. We already know it's Brian Bulaga and it's Blake Martinez. And, you know, to me, I think you got to bring back Mason Crosby.
Yeah,
he's been one of the more steady kickers and a cold weather kicker. So after that, you know, do you bring Bulaga back on a 2-year deal if you can get him? Because I think he earned some money this year.
100% he did. He earned himself a lot of money.
So, you know, you got to shore up the right tackle position. But after that, what do you do?
You've got to bring back guys who can prevent from happening what happened on Sunday. So I think that's going to be on defense. And I know we all want a receiver, and this draft class is loaded. So I need to go back and forth between myself and think, well, do you take one of those guys?
You got to get a veteran. You got to get somebody.
You got to get a veteran.
This whole thing about, because this whole thing about earning trust and about being in the right place at the right time, and, you know, you got to be in all this stuff because they don't have to worry about it. Nobody has to play in preseason and blah, blah, blah. You got to go out and find somebody that knows what the hell they're doing.
That's a hard decision. If it's at let's just look at the draft, and if it's at 30, and I can get one of the top receivers available, or I can get an impact linebacker, I don't know what to do yet, and I don't know what Gutekunst is going to do, because on one hand you got to think
if you get an impact linebacker at 30, I take him. If it's a toss between the two, I take the linebacker, because linebackers are tougher to find if you believe that you've got yourself the guy.
That's fair. I think that with the wide receiver position, I've been someone saying, hey, if Aaron Rodgers is this good, how does he not make the guys around him better? But then when you look at that play that you referenced earlier, Geronimo Allison in the interception, I mean, you can't at some point, Aaron Rodgers, what can Aaron Rodgers do to make Geronimo Allison smarter? He can't do anything. So maybe you do need to upgrade with the receiver. It's just they're again, at least we know the few areas that they need to improve, and now what the struggle is going to be is what is the biggest priority. That might depend on who's there at 30, who do you think is going to be there in free agency. I think you've got to – you know how you lost. You got to the NFC Championship game playing a certain way, and then you lost by getting beat a certain way. So now you've got to figure out how do we prevent that from happening. So I might look defense with you.
The other thing is that we're going to have to really sit down and find out that not just who's available in free agency, but he may have to get creative. We've seen more trades go down in recent history than at any other time in the NFL. They may have to get creative and deal a few guys.
I don't see it being A.J. Green. I don't see it being some of these top play guys.
If
I don't
you
think
can
it's
get
Emmanuel
A.J.
Sanders.
Green at a good price, I take the risk.
Oh, 100%.
But I'm not paying A.J. Green what he thinks he's going to get.
And what does he want?
Well, he's making 13 this
year.
He
was making 13. If he wants to go back and make 7 or 8, maybe 9.
Oh, I'd give him 10.
I'd go in that realm. But I'm not paying him 13 or more. Because the guy's been completely injury prone his entire career. I'm not going to pay him that.
It's so difficult, too, because, guys, I mean, you saw what happened with Davante Adams. And, yes, the offense flourished. They were also playing the Raiders. And then they had, for some reason, Sorensen come down and try to man up against Aaron Jones. And he had a career day. I still think they need another running back. I know that's kind of unpopular. Because if you're going to go into this year, once again, seemingly each and every week with two active backs.
So Dexter Williams is not your guy.
No, he obviously doesn't know the plays.
Right.
You obviously can't trust
him.
Active with two running backs each and every time. I think you go and get one of the veteran wide receivers and draft one. But I think I'm with you guys. If you have the opportunity to draft an inside linebacker that you think can man the defense, call the plays, and still be an impact player in the first round, you got to go there.
Going to go and take a quick break. 1 hour down, 1 hour, one final hour of the Bill Michaels Huddle yet to go. And in this hour, we will draw for the winner of that 55-inch big-screen TV. Uh-huh. Hang in there. We've got more coming up after this.
In 49 other states, football is just a game. But this is Wisconsin.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy is coming home.
Wisconsin fans demand the best. The best analysis, the best interviews, the best coverage, and no one delivers like the Bill Michaels Huddle.
Good evening and welcome. Final hour of the season for the Bill Michaels Huddle. Next week, no huddle. We are going to be live down in Miami at Super Bowl 54. So tonight is it. Tonight also in this hour we will give away the big screen TV. Compliments of ABC Audio Video. We are here tonight again brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light. The New Berlin Ale House here in New Berlin on Cleveland. Come on by and say hi. I'm Bill Michaels. Got Bart Winkler here and Baby Talish from 105.7 FM The Fan out of Milwaukee. And Bart is sharing baby pictures. At least
don't put me in this situation. Bill, and I'm sorry, I'm going to get on a soapbox.
No, go ahead.
What do you mean?
I'm 25 years old, right? I'm the young guy.
Yeah, you've said that twice.
This is the part that I don't like. Don't put me in the uncompromised situation when you say, don't you want to see pictures of my son?
Look.
I'm sorry, I really don't.
I got a five-month-old son.
It's adorable.
Thank you.
I'm so proud of you.
I have not posted any. Thank you.
Yeah, five-month-old son. This guy created life.
People are clapping because they finally found out it works. You know,
created
so
life.
Happy for
hey,
you.
No one's more surprised here than me. But I don't put any pictures of my kid online.
No, you don't. That's fine.
So it's not like
But
every bath he takes is another Facebook post. But you know, you're my friend,
and I
just got a batch of new ones from daycare.
Yeah. I love you. But don't. I'd rather not think of children. And I'm really, really sorry to say that. I love people's kids. Other
Look at this one
kids.
Of him in the high chair.
Now. Oh, that is just adorable.
Here's the thing. And I'll say this. Your son's a cute kid.
Sure is.
But it goes back. It always harkens back to like an old Seinfeld episode. If millennials get pissed off, I'm sorry. But where they show the ugly baby and you got to say, oh, what a cute kid.
You got to say it's adorable.
Even though you've run across that couple that their kid looks like a foot. You know? I mean, there, it's
yes,
like,
and there are,
you know,
ugly babies in this world.
You've got, you know, hey, let me see your picture of your kid. And what the hell is that?
You just go.
That's a mess. The doctor screwed up, or you were on your head the entire time, or you sat in a hot tub and he's too well done. Something happened to that thing. But that's a mess. That is just a ball of. I'm glad you love him. He's
yes.
yours.
You're going to love him. He's tremendous.
But that kid's a mess, and keep him away from my dog, damn it.
That's when you just say,
keep him away from my dog.
I bet she's a really nice girl.
Here's one of him sleeping.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Oh, there you go. There you have it.
There you go. Sleeping kid.
Thanks, man.
All right. Well, we're back to football. How are we looking? That's just a lesson learned. You always say cute kid, but that, you always
right.
look to your friends, and you're like, you know.
You can't
you,
say that.
I will say have a cute kid.
Mm-hmm.
See? Okay.
Look at that.
But I have had couples that have said, oh, look at our kid. And I went, oh, yeah, that's right. Really nice. You don't want to hold him? No.
I'm okay.
Because that could rub off.
Yeah. That might burn.
No.
And I got to save the little bit of beauty I still got.
Did you put the diaper on the right end? That's what, you know, that type of thing, you know? Because
yeah, everyone at the Ale House, once this show's over, we're going to go over there do an open mic. So
that's all we want.
And it might
know.
Be our new career. So
yes.
We don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're talking about this Packers team. We'll break down the Super Bowl coming up. Overall season, get away from the San Francisco.
Can I stop you for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm chomping at the bit to talk about something.
Go ahead.
About, not my kid, about Mike Pettine.
Sure.
Because I don't know what happened there yesterday. Because you have Matt LaFleur come out and say what he said, and it looked like Mike Pettine was going to get fired. And then 3 hours later, when he met with Mark Murphy, Mike Pettine's staying. And there's a good debate to have. Should Mike Pettine get another year? Should Mike Pettine go? What has Mike Pettine really done since he was with Rex Ryan?
Well, wait a minute.
So
his scoring defense this year was top 10.
All right.
His scoring defense last year was 18th, if I'm not mistaken. The years before that, they were in 25th, 27th, and 29th.
But Mike Pettine is the guy, the one guy that Matt LaFleur was kind of arranged married to. You know, they got
right.
a bunch of new coaches
right.
and – so he's kind of that one guy.
But he was also the only guy with head coaching experience
that's
that Matt LaFleur
true.
Could
and
lean
so,
on.
So you would think that would help, yet Matt LaFleur goes to San Francisco and it looks like he's never coached before. Where was the head coaching help then? So I'm wondering if, because Mark Murphy has had to pay so many of these coaches, and as Mike Clemens has said, paid $9 million to sit in a barn and look at tape to Mike McCarthy, did Matt LaFleur maybe want to move on and Mark Murphy said – we just keep this guy. I just wonder how much of that decision, because it really sounded like he was out in that press conference. And so I just, you know, it's the offseason. We can speculate. I just wonder how much influence Mark Murphy had on that decision.
When he was asked about Mike Pettine, he talked about evaluating the prior evaluations. And maybe he had not talked to Mike Pettine yet.
How do you talk to Mike Pettine on the plane?
Well, I mean,
and the way home, but all I'm doing
you're going
is talking
film.
To Pettine and saying,
you're going through
what
film.
Did we just do?
Right, but you're going through film. You're looking at things. You're not going to, you know, kind of dig in the old wounds. You're also looking at a season that you thought was relatively successful. Then on Monday, you sit down and you go over the film. On Tuesday, you start having the exit interviews. You first start with your players, and then you start with your coaches. So, or you go to your coaches and say, these guys need to work on this, and then you have some of the exit interviews after the fact. It might have been where he had just either, one, talked to Mike Pettine, or two, had not discussed specifically with Pettine and all the coaches their futures, because he didn't get in-depth on any coach.
No. But the
one question was about Pettine, because the defense just looked so bad.
Right. And I don't think he had the conversation with Mark Murphy, and I do believe that it's more pressing than ever.
Because he said
to keep Mark Murphy involved.
He said after that, we'll talk with Mark.
Right.
And that's what he said. And that's what people's eyebrows went up, because as if Mark Murphy was making player personnel decisions, which
right.
he's not.
And saying
but,
that he's drafting the
correct,
players.
Correct, which is ridiculous.
No kidding.
But it might have been where, hey, I got this idea. This is what I'm thinking I want to do. But I want to go make sure that we're all on the same page, and that's the knocking down of the silos. So I don't – it sounded ominous, but it's also a first-year head coach who's been very honest and very frank, too.
Yeah.
And he's been more honest than we ever got out of Red China and Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson.
And I think he's just – guys, I just think he's bad in front of the microphone. I think he just opens his mouth and words just come out. And, like, whether he means it or not, I just don't think he's trained very well in front of the microphone. And this is still a guy that is in his second year of talking to the press. You know, you only talk really when you're an offensive coordinator. So maybe three, but he wasn't calling plays when he was with McVay out right. in L.A. So he wasn't making those conversations. He wasn't doing those. So he is still just so raw in that standpoint of it. But it did feel like to me that he wanted to have a serious conversation with Mike Pettine and said, dude, what we just did out there is unacceptable. We can't do that again. And to your point, Bart, they have spent a lot of money on these coaches. But I also think some of it came down to, Matt, look at this film, dude. Look at Zadarius getting worked by 85. Yeah. Look at Preston Smith getting reached every single play. Look at Blake not being able to fill. And I had B.J. Goodson on the field with Tyler Lancaster. Like, at some point, I'm going to need a little bit of upgrade here, and we're not going to be able to stop this freight train each day.
Getting back to Mike Pettine, now the question is, and I'll ask you, Bart, first, do you think Mike Pettine should stay?
I would have moved on.
Why?
I don't think you can have that performance and regroup and – and I think where I look to is Matt LaFleur had Mike Pettine as that kind of, like I said, head coaching sounding board. But then Matt LaFleur goes into this game, and they look like you already played the Niners. You played them on a bye week. You had this time to adjust, and you still came out the way that you did. I go back to after they lost to the Niners the first time, and Blake Martinez was the one that kind of opened this up, and he said, we had a players-only meeting, and we realized then that us linebackers thought the secondary was supposed to do this. The defensive line thought the linebackers were supposed to do this. So the players kind of figured that out. Where was Mike Pettine in that? Where was he in that? I would have moved on, maybe just change for the sake of change. The one thing that I would say to keep Mike Pettine is you can't keep changing systems over and over and over and over again. Right. I mean, you need some consistency at some point, so it's certainly – you know, it's not an easy decision. It's a conversation to have. Personally, if that happened to me, I would have looked to find a new voice.
Billy?
I was pretty against it because I think those kind of reactionary moves, they're the moves that the Browns make. They're the moves that winning organizations just don't make. But to that same...
But you also held on to Dom Capers way too long.
Yes, you did.
And so I'm trying to figure out why do we love Mike Pettine so much. Is he the rebound girl after Dom Capers?
No, I like Mike Pettine because he's shown results.
And they take had the a football away. That's what I really, really
they
like,
took
too.
They concentrated on fumbles, footballs, and they concentrated on pass rush this year, and he brought it from many different angles. And when you saw what he could do when he had player personnel in the right position in the right places.
Hey, and when Kevin King stays healthy, they can defend
and they're down the field, Jair too. And Kevin King are solid, and they're getting better. That's the scary part about it. They're getting better. I like the secondary. I think he did a good job in keeping the veteran of a guy like Tremont Williams around to school some of the younger guys. Adrian Amos, he was a guy. I mean, it wasn't a massive upgrade, but he wasn't a crazy, problem child.
You, never saw him. Never heard his name.
But sometimes that's good.
One of my favorite parts about his play was that you didn't see him missing
tackles. You didn't see a lot of problems.
And also, too, you didn't see a whole lot of Darnell Savage messing up mentally.
Right.
And a lot of that, I think, needs to be contributed to Adrian Amos knowing, dude, you got to be back here. And being able to study with a first-year guy who has all the talent in the world, but maybe not the primary study habit, or still learning what the NFL game is like, those two in the back end I think are only going to get better. Also, one of the reasons why I wanted to keep Mike Pettine around is because I think you give him one more guy in the middle of that defensive line and keep hands off of Blake Martinez. I still think Blake Martinez can play at a high level.
I think
league.
He can play,
but he needs help.
You got to have it. You got to have another guy that has that over the middle speed. And Blake Martinez wears the captain's hat. He wears the call helmet. So that may have to change because you may end up pulling Blake Martinez out and be a situational guy versus vice versa, where he's constantly on the field calling the defense and. There are times where he shouldn't be because the speed he has did not match up to what you need for the team.
That might be a position, too, guys, that they address in free agency because I know C.J. Mosley got the exorbitant contract this year, so he got a huge amount of money last year. But other than that, look at the other guys that have been the top inside linebacker on the market. That's usually a relatively affordable Pro Bowl contract. You start thinking about Pro Bowl contracts, it's about $10 million you're going to have to pay for a Pro Bowler. That one, you might be able to find a Corey Littleton for $7.5 million, $8.5 million, and save a little bit that you can put on top of that Kenny Clark contract, or maybe that's a wide receiver at a veteran minimum that can be the third or fourth guy.
We're broadcasting live at the New Berlin Ale House. It is Bart Winkler alongside with Billy Schmidt, Baby Tao, Sean Bill Michaels. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break, come back. We're going to finish up this conversation. At the bottom of the hour, we get into the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 54, the matchup between the 49ers and the Chiefs. Also going to be giving away the big screen TV coming up here in just a little bit, a 55-inch from ABC Audio and Video for all the people that have signed up throughout the entire season with us at all the huddles. We're going to draw a name coming up here in just a little while as well. Stay tuned. We got more coming up after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
He was open-minded, and I appreciate that because certainly we asked him to play under center more than he has, especially in the more recent years. I thought he executed for the most part at a pretty high level, and I know the numbers weren't what you guys say were up to the standard or whatever, but I do think there was some really good play in there. I'm excited about moving forward into the future, really getting another off season with him.
There you go. Welcome back. Those are the words of Matt LaFleur. He's talking about Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers' performance overall. And we discussed Aaron Rodgers a little bit. I talked with him. Welcome back. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We're live out here at the New Berlin Ale House in New Berlin on Cleveland Avenue. If you want to come by, still going to be here another 35 minutes or so. And coming up here in about 5-10 minutes, we're going to announce the winner of the big screen TV coming up here in just a few minutes. So stay tuned for that. Bart Winkler and Baby Tausch, Bill Schmidt from 105.7 FM, The Fan, out of Milwaukee here on site with us as well. So Aaron Rodgers, his performance this year was what? Billy?
I think somewhat, I don't know if declining is the right word, but I think we are starting to see the age catch up to Aaron with the injuries that he's had. Because he's had some pretty catastrophic injuries when you talk about two broken collarbones, a fracture just below the knee last year, and the strained calf in 2014. The list goes on and on. And he's also just not as willing, I think, to step out of the pocket and step into throws as much as he was back in the day. And you've seen it even in the pocket. He might not step into something and give it as much oomph because he's trying to make sure he cuts down on some of those big hits. But to this I'll say, I don't think you saw any of the question marks. However, I know a lot of people had the sayings of, this looks like Mike McCarthy's offense and he's not running the offense. I think he is, and he's still learning at a pace that a guy that's been in the same system for 13 straight years is going to give a little bit of pushback, but I think even the biggest Aaron Rodgers critics can say you saw growth from that aspect of him understanding, guys, I don't have to do it all anymore, so now I won't if I don't have to.
I think that it's open to interpretation. It's like one of those internet things.
Don't get on a category with us here.
Well, no, it's like what color is this dress, blue or black? Or do you hear Yanni or Laurel? You know, it's like, if you're a big Aaron Rodgers guy, you can look at the year and point out all these things and say, this is Aaron Rodgers. But if you want to take
4,000 yards and 28 touchdowns and four picks.
If you want to take it the other way, you can look at the Detroit game. You can look at some of these overthrows. You can look at some of these missed passes. And you can just look at the game on Sunday against the Niners. I mean, he played well. He was making throws that really only Aaron Rodgers can still make. I mean, he's throwing darts. He started off 7-7. He had some great touchdowns. But also, the footwork, Billy, as you mentioned, the fumble, a couple interceptions, no matter how they ended up coming. I just think it's open to interpretation, and I think that seeing him in the second year of an offense will be beneficial to him and LaFleur. One of the things LaFleur said yesterday that, you might have to go double check or do a double take on is this is Matt LaFleur's second year anywhere in 4 years.
Crazy.
Right. He went from Atlanta, and then he had 2 years there. Before that, it was 1 year at Notre Dame, I think.
Yep.
And then 2 years in Atlanta, then 1 year in the Rams, then 1 year in the Titans, now 1 year with the Packers. I mean, that's cool on the back of a baseball card, but you got to have time to get acclimated and to get your system built in. And so I think that year two is only going to benefit everybody, specifically the coach and the quarterback.
Bill, you saw him I mean, you were there at 45. You were on the field after the game. And you saw – you've seen him at his best, right?
Right.
And the arm strength, I think, is still there to the most – for the most
part.
The
arm strength is there.
But I think a little bit of that gunslinger – we've seen Aaron Rodgers. This is a crazy stat, too. One time in his career, Aaron Rodgers has thrown double-digit interceptions. And we've praised him so much for the ball security he's done. But the one year he threw double-digit interceptions – they won the Super Bowl.
So,
has had a little bit of that gunslinger in him in the past. I wonder if he unleashes it a little bit more, knowing more of the offense and being a little more comfortable.
What I saw at Aaron Rodgers this year was I saw the arm strength is still there. The accuracy at times was questionable. The decision-making at times, and it's like almost sacrilege to say I'm questioning the thought process. But there were times where – it wasn't so much the questioning of the thought process, it was the questioning of the timing of the thought process.
Yeah.
And what I've always said about guys like Mitch Trubisky and looking at younger quarterbacks, they all have talent. It's how quickly they decipher what's going on and they get rid of the football. And Aaron Rodgers would decipher it and then begin to question it, and then you could see him turn away, and now he's off and running.
And have the OS moment.
Right, and now he's having
which we saw a lot out of Brett Hundley.
Right, so now we're having the, what am I doing? And now I'm trying to improvise, which is what's made him a living. But when they did that breakdown of the quality of passes and the completion percentage of when he gets rid of the ball in 0 to 2 seconds, 2 to 4 seconds, and over 4 seconds, and the biggest decline in his career has been the accuracy of passes from beyond four seconds or more in his career. Because you can say on one hand, you had Jordy and Randall and James and Jermichael and Donald and all these guys that knew where to go and knew how to come back. On the other hand, you also have the consistency of there's more and more of these four-second passes. So is it the talent around him is not as good, which we believe it's not, or is it Aaron Rodgers hanging onto the football, which everybody wants to make a case out of? But what I saw was when he did see a window, it was that half second slower.
Yes.
Where it was now the window's open and closed, and you don't have enough time to get it there, so now the 4 second begins.
Well, in the last time I saw him miss a blitzer from a safety spot that was on his front
right?
side, Bill was
when
the,
he looked at him.
He was the wild card game when he was in his first playoff game.
Right.
And you saw that again this year in the NFC title game, and that's when he gets strip sacked. Like, that part of it, I'm like, dude, we haven't seen that ever.
Right.
So that part of the decision-making, that part of the timing of knowing the hot routes and all that kind of stuff, I don't question he doesn't know it, but I am questioning of, dude, how is it taking you longer to process it now? This is when you're supposed to be more cerebral than ever and be able to beat guys because of your mind. You see Joe Burrow coming out of LSU right now. These quarterbacks are reading defenses at a much more prolific, quick, speed-driven rate because they're seeing it in 7-on-7 all year.
Right,
Aaron was like the first wave of that, and it did feel like this year that there was a step back every once in a while of, I know I'm hot, I know I got to send it to the right, and it was a half second too late.
He's got to be better. I mean, Aaron Rodgers,
not for sure.
He was good or whatever you land on, he's still got to be better than what he was if they're going to win a Super Bowl.
See, my biggest question, and I'm excited to see, is if they give him some weapons, do we see Aaron Rodgers come back?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, and I really, I guess maybe it's wishful thinking, but I really do hope that we just suddenly see an increase in talent at the wide receiver position, and all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers is an Aaron Rodgers again, and we're going, oh, okay, so it was just Aaron Rodgers needing better talent around him. Because if you look at it and they do get better talent and Aaron Rodgers doesn't play much better, then you realize you got a lot of money invested into a guy that is starting to drop off the edge of the table. And if that's the case, now you got a whole reevaluation. Now you got to think to yourself, okay, I got to go do what John Elway did to support Peyton Manning in the last year of his career. And that is go out and get a snot locker, just punch you in the face defense
yep.
to support a declining quarterback and a decent offense.
But Aaron Rodgers is worlds ahead of how bad Manning was.
No, I agree with that. That's what I'm saying. That's why I really believe maybe it's wishful thinking, but I believe that Aaron Rodgers, you put the right pieces around him, and Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers again. And then we're going to be talking about, boy, it's an MVP season, and it's
a
resurgence, and look what he did. Yeah, it's a comeback year for Aaron Rodgers. Because he takes so much of the credit and so much of the blame, and he's such a lightning rod, and he does, you know, obviously with the $24 million mansion and the Malibu thing, and then this podcast with Danica, and all the other stuff that I really don't care. just, you know, I mean, it's great for him personally. It's great for him personally for what he's got going on.
No
his,
doubt.
His life is shaping up, I guess, the way he wants it. But when it comes to football and the critique of football, that's what I see. And I'm questioning now, has what I – just like the interception, I really believed it was Aaron Rodgers. And then I went back and looked at it. I'm like, no, it wasn't. It wasn't Rodgers. And now all the things that he'd been saying and that I've been so pissed off about, maybe it is true. You know, maybe we do need to listen to him a little bit more and understand that there has to be more to it than just him dropping back to pass and slinging the ball all over the place.
It'd be amazing to me you see Justin Jefferson from LSU come in as your 30th pick.
Oh.
Say you get Thaddeus Moss from LSU, who I'm all over. You're going to be able to get him fourth or fifth round to go up with Sternberger. Sternberger showed me a lot in that in this playoff run that he came in from not playing pretty much all year long. And, guys, he played two positions. He played inline tight end, and he was playing fullback. If you have two guys like that that can stretch the field and also settle in on top of a veteran that knows where to go.
But is Sternberger your legit tight end?
Because I think it's a two-man system.
You're not going to sit there and say that you've got the next George Kittle or anything like that, or you know, Travis Kelce, or you start going through the list of really quality tight ends. That's you don't need that. It would be great to have. You don't need that, but you need that next level.
You need Dallas Goedert. You don't need Zach Ertz.
And is Sternberger that?
Bill, I think he can be a weapon against cover two defenses.
He certainly was drafted as if he could.
Yeah, and I think he can stretch the field. I think what else he is you look at, and people want it to be more like the Rams offense, right? Then he's Gerald Everett, who can be the tight end that can also step into the slot, and they're confident that he knows the route tree and is able to run pretty much every route from outside, inside, and in the backfield. That could be a real weapon if he's able to develop the way I think he can.
Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we've got Bart Winkler alongside Billy Schmitz here. I'm Bill Michaels. We are going to draw a name during the break, and we will let you know the name of the winner of the 55-inch big screen TV.
Now we're talking.
From ABC Audio Video. That will come up next on the Bill Michaels Huddle.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Three wide receiver set for the 49ers.
It's George Kittle at the bottom.
Somehow the handoff into the arms of Mostert. He's gone. Touchdown, San Francisco.
The perimeter plays, man. That's something we couldn't stop. I know we should have fixed that on the sideline, but we didn't. You know, that was probably something we didn't do, but now we know. And as we go on to next year, we'll be able to fix these situations when we're in them.
Welcome back to the program. We are glad to have you. Thanks, as always, for taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate it. Hopefully you're enjoying your evening. That was Za'Darius Smith talking about the ability or inability to stop the run. We are broadcasting live at the New Berlin Ale House. We are here tonight, and it's our last Bill Michaels Huddle of the season. And we appreciate you being here. Our friends at Bud Light appreciate you being here, and our friends from ABC Audio Video, Chris and the gang, appreciate you being here as well. So we just drew the name for the big screen TV.
Now we're talking. Come on 55 now.
55-incher. Okay?
Come on, be me.
And I always say I want witnesses to see how we draw this, you know, so we stick your hand in, you rush it around, you pull out a name.
Come on, Billy Schmidt.
So,
Schmidt.
No, you didn't win it.
Oh, man.
But they are here.
Bart Winkler?
And they have been to 1,000 huddles, so I'm glad they won it.
Okay.
Kyle Kanter.
Woo! They're here. Get them up here.
He won the 55-inch big screen TV. Kyle and Nancy come to a lot of them. They've actually been on our motorcycle rides numerous times as well as to support charity. You can say hello if you want to.
Here.
There
you go.
Here. Over here.
Does
here,
not
here.
Look interested in coming on the
So, we don't have it with us. They're going to drop it off and put it in your house. Watch the glass. So,
Mazel tov.
So, we kind of dug and dug, and then I pulled this out, and I went, oh, my God. So, how you doing? You want to
congratulations.
Throw
that is great stuff.
So there you go. So between – well, that'll look good on your stack of 48,000 Bud Light T-shirts.
There you go.
Yeah. So I
should have wore one.
Exactly. I guess you should have. So Chris and the gang will be over to your house. They install it. How big is the TV in your house?
65.
It'll go downstairs in the kids' room?
Now we're talking.
Okay, now you're talking.
The playroom is
so you
what
got a 65. Yeah, they actually do daycare at the house.
They call it the playroom.
They call it the playroom, yeah. It's kind of a spanking baby thing. I don't know what they got going on. So anyway.
Don't bring your kid by.
Chris will be in touch with you. We'll get Chris in touch with you. And you want it. So after all these T-shirts you've had over all the years, it pays off now. Now you get something of substance.
Yeah, it's a long time. So
congratulations.
Thanks.
When does the hand heal up?
2-3 weeks.
So explain to people what you did.
I broke a drill bit and snapped it and stuck it in my hand. And
took out
a couple of tendons.
There you go.
I mean, nerves.
Nerves.
Hey, that'll be all good. You'll be ready to ride in no time, right?
Yeah, there you go.
That's the point.
That's exactly
there.
Right. So there you go. Nice round of applause for our TV winner.
Woo!
There you go. Couldn't believe it. When we pulled it, it was like, you got to be kidding me.
You guys make sure my name's in there. I want to make sure I didn't get slighted.
I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. So there you go. The winner of the television, the 55-inch big screen TV, Kyle Kanter, his wife Nancy. They've been with us for a long, long time. So want to talk now. We want to get into this game. 49ers taking on the Chiefs. The storylines for this are already coming out. I mean, does this put Andy Reid in the Hall of Fame if he gets a win? Does he go down one of the greatest coaches of all time? You look at his coaching tree. He's got right now 25% of the coaches that are in the National Football League.
It's amazing.
Are his guys.
Yeah.
You take a look at like guys like Belichick, and Belichick, nobody is a head coach that's thriving and surviving because they can't do it the Belichickian way. So nobody wants to grab a head coach out of Belichick's group anymore, except for maybe their offensive coordinator. But beyond that, Romeo Crennel tried it. I mean, Vrabel is a guy that played for Belichick. So he's kind of taken that into the Tennessee system.
And Bill O'Brien's a nut. I don't even know if you'd want to take him.
O'Brien's kind of crazy. But, who needs this more? Obviously you got the reigning MVP in Patrick Mahomes. You got Andy Reid. You got a terrific story. But then you got Garoppolo, who was behind Brady, and all he wanted to do was get his shot. And if he wasn't going to be the guy in New England, I want to go win a championship somewhere else. So now he's in a Super Bowl, and he's seen how to act, so to speak. You've got Shanahan in the Shanahan way and coming out of that. And then they're talking about, his dad won one. Can he win one?
And he was with the Falcons when they blew the 28.
He was with – right. So there's so many storylines of this. So the opening line, give me your thoughts.
Andy Reid, to me, that's the best part. Frankly, I'm not happy the Packers are not in the Super Bowl, but for me it would have been tough cheering against Andy Reid because – you brought up the coaching tree. Look at the success of him. I mean, all the guys in the playoffs this year from his coaching tree. John Harbaugh, Sean McDermott, who I think is one of the best coaches in football. I think Doug Peterson's one of the best coaches in football. He came off that tree. All the success that they've had to be able to be in this spot. Andy, I think,
and he comes out of somewhat the Holmgren system.
For sure.
And
for sure
when you talk about a Hall of Fame, Holmgren should probably go in before Andy Reid does.
Yes.
I mean,
Holmgren should be in.
He's won one and been to three total. And he's taken it with he's done it with two different teams, So
and
Holmgren
he's not
be
in before Bill Cowher.
He may find
because
out.
Because he's not on TV.
But he may find out this year.
I mean, really. Yeah. I mean, he's not on national TV, so they couldn't go up and say, thank you for all you've done for the game. Thank you for all you're going to do for
on
the game.
On a radio show.
Yeah, on TV.
You know?
So they can't do it like that. Instead, you have the storyline of Pat Mahomes, who I think is right now. He wins this Super Bowl. He is the face of American sports. I mean, he is the guy that everybody
he takes
drives
the torch
to be.
From Aaron Rodgers.
100% he does. And he is the best player in football. He should go and win it this year. I'm only upset that the Tennessee Titans beat the New England Patriots, so he also didn't have the chance to knock that off and take out Brady and Belichick like he should have done last year. Then he gets to go through what everybody said was the new MVP and the new best quarterback because he got hurt in Lamar Jackson, and then go vindicate yourself down in Miami.
Well, it's kind of like when the Packers finally got that one in 96, they didn't have to take down the Cowboys. So the Chiefs get theirs, but they don't have to take down New England. I think that, I'm excited for the Super Bowl. Normally, whenever the Packers lose in the playoffs, whoever beats us, I can't even bear to watch the game. And I'm like a big fan of the other team. I couldn't stand the Giants in there. I couldn't stand the Seahawks in there. Usually couldn't stand it. I'm excited to watch this game. You've probably got the fastest two teams in the league in this one. I think that for the most part, people will be behind the Chiefs. I think whether it's because you like Mahomes or you like Andy Reid, I feel like the Niners come away with the win in this game.
I got a weird feeling about that, too, because usually when it comes down to this game, it's not as high scoring as everybody thinks, and the better defense will win you the ball game.
Yeah.
And the number one passing defense against the number one passing offense.
Right.
I mean, it is. This is what, if you wanted the 100th season, yes, we wanted this rematch of Super Bowl I here, but the NFL has got to be just chomping at the bit. You get the young guy who might be the new best coach of the 2020s, and the old guy that is still trying to hang on with maybe the best player. I mean, this game, though, and I don't mean to hype it up more than what it is, but it could be the beginning of the team of the decade, right? In the 2020s, there's going to be a team that pretty much every decade wins like three Super Bowls. Could it be Mahomes and the Chiefs? Everybody could see it. Could it be the Niners and Kyle Shanahan, who a lot of people think is the best young coach in football? I could see that too.
When we come back, there's one thing about this Chiefs team that I find astounding that has not been astounding all season long. We'll discuss that when we come back. Final segment of the Bill Michaels Huddle for the 2019-2020 season. That is coming up right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Right now, it's just focusing on myself, getting my body right, and then he'll have more answers down the road of what's going to be out there, what options and things like that, and kind of see how it all pans out. More in all the other 32 teams' hands, who wants to have me and those types of things, and obviously I'd love to be here.
Blake Martinez, linebacker for the Green Bay Packers, now a free agent, had an emotional speech after the ball game, and again talking about at least sounding like he is not coming back, or he's been in some way, shape, or form made aware of it. Now we'll wait and see, but sounds like Blake Martinez might not be back. So going back to the Super Bowl before, because we're going to get into predictions in the next 7 minutes here, but so we talked about Andy Reid and that side of things, Kyle Shanahan coming in, kind of his new system. It was, you know, it's a lot of different, you know, is this the best way to go? And then you got to get the young coach, but is the young coach going to be outschooled by the old coach who's been there, done that? And is the old coach who's got the best young player in football, is that the way to go? And, you know, and everybody's, it's a copycat league, so everybody's trying to find you. First, a while it was Romeo Crennel, and I mean, everybody that came out of Bill Belichick's system. And, you know, now what do you do? Which system works the best? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got Andy Reid, who's been doing it forever. And the one thing that I can say about Andy Reid, and if you're a young coach, this is what you should look to, especially if you're Matt LaFleur, he adapted, man. He changed the way he did things. He sat down and started working with Patrick Mahomes. They would go and sit together on the bench, even during the game.
Loved it.
Everything he did was a father to a son to say, I'm going to do everything I can to help you be your best. And if I can't do it, we'll change it to what you can do, or at least change things around you to make you better. That's been a magnificent way that they've done it. In the meantime, we're all trying to find the latest and greatest.
And my favorite part about it, too, is, Bill, he's never been too, I don't want to say arrogant because I think that's the wrong word. Short-sighted seems unfair, but he's never been too confident in his own ability to say, Eric Bieniemy, I want you to start calling the plays.
Right.
I want Matt Nagy to start calling the plays, who had an arena football background. Doug Peterson, I've seen him go.
How did Eric Bieniemy not end up with an interview?
It's hard for these teams when they're still playing because everybody's so anxious to get their coach.
We all know what the real answer is, right? I mean, like, there's a reason why you get an interview when Marvin Lewis got dragged down to Dallas to interview right after Mike McCarthy slept at Jerry Jones's house, for God's sakes. The Rooney Rule just doesn't work. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities
I'm a Cowboy
that come
fan,
in
by the way.
Come in for minority coaches.
What? Next season, I'm a Cowboy fan.
Like Mike McCarthy being
I want the Packers to meet McCarthy in the playoffs so bad.
That would be great.
Would that not be the most epic game?
That would be
in Dallas because Rodgers owns that place.
Awesome.
Oh, my God. So for that reason aside. But, no, you have these coaches like Saleh, and it's teams don't want to wait. But then to see Stefanski at the Browns job over
Eric Bieniemy, I mean, that's laughable. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, and
well, then again, everything associated with the Browns is laughable. Just when you 100%.
Thought
when they put the train back on the tracks.
Yeah.
They just send it careening off a cliff and down and into the cavern. And
if you're Mike Zimmer in Minnesota, I know we're getting way off topic. He got Stefanski out of there. He got Gary Kubiak now to be the offensive coordinator. Mike Zimmer's like, damn, maybe I won this. I got a guy that's a Super Bowl winning head coach that now is going to be my OC.
So, well, you know, hopefully they're not going to be that good next year. I still think they're going to be one of the better teams. But
same.
That's the other thing is the division next year, how the division is going to look overall. At least you know that they gave the stamp of approval to Mitch Trubisky. Now if they bring somebody else in to back him up like an Andy Dalton or something like that, then we'll wait and see if maybe they make a move.
That's going to be fascinating. That team's
yeah,
so close.
That's a good defense. But, you know, Trevathan, though, is done. Would you go after Trevathan?
I wanted him before he signed with the Bears.
Right, but he looked good with the Bears for a season. The rest
I wanted
of the time
him out
he was
of Denver.
Banged up. The rest of the time he was banged up. But would you pay a lot less to get a guy like a Danny Trevathan to come in and help you out?
You got to go with somebody next to him because I think Danny Trevathan was really, really good when Roquan Smith came back.
Right.
And he was next to him. That was the speed guy that was able to go around the guy that's been around the league and the smart. He can take the rookie
right
around the league, too.
So prediction time as we sit here with about two or three minutes to go before we get out of here. So Super Bowl 54, as you're sitting there stuffing your face full of beers and nachos and wings and everything else there, Bart, who you got?
I'm going to take the Niners. I would be surprised if this game isn't the game that we expect it to be. There's going to be a lot of hype for it. I think we saw that last year with New England and the Rams, and then it was a punt fest. I think this game is a classic NFL back-and-forth game. I will go with the standard 31-27, and I'll take it in favor of the Niners.
I think the Chiefs are going to end up doing it. I just think they're so talented. I think they're so athletic. And, guys, I'm a huge Patrick Mahomes fan. I think he is what is going to be good about the NFL for a long time. And they have such – their defense has gotten markedly better in the last 8 weeks than it was early on in the season. And the additions they made, it's a much better group than it is last year. I think they can make enough stops. And also, I think they're hard-hitting enough at right positions, right? Frank Clark. I think the inside linebackers can thump. And Tyrann Mathieu's been a total game changer there in the secondary, being able to go and maybe put Mostert down.
I would have loved to have seen him come here, too. That was another
one.
They
picked
him up. Oh, my God. I would have loved to have seen him.
Would have made so much sense, Bill. And those chances are there.
My heart wants the Chiefs.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah, my heart wants the Chiefs. But my head keeps telling me defense wins you championships. The one thing that I went to break with is I never thought that the Chiefs defense would stifle Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
I never thought they would stop the run. And if they stop the run, is Garoppolo, who really has not been heavily tested, is he capable of leading them to a win?
And Mahomes can be Superman. We
yes,
saw
he
it
can.
Against the Titans. I mean, they needed a touchdown from
they
him.
They were down 24-0 and he came back.
You can't do that. The two games, though, they've been down like that.
No
early,
chance.
And you can't do that against
that
San Francisco.
That Mahomes 27-yard run before halftime to score, I think, was the play of the postseason so far. And he brought them back. They need a touchdown. He's going to run out of bounds. Scores a touchdown. He is the Superman of the league. I would like to see him and Andy Reid win it. And kind of for that reason, I think the team that I don't want to see win is going to be the one that does.
I think the defense can win it for you. Although I will say, like I just thought the defense played magnificently against Derrick Henry and company and the Tennessee Titans. But they didn't want to put the ball in Tannehill's hands and say, go
no.
win it for us. So that made them rather one-dimensional.
That Chiefs offense can be their best defense, too.
I'm thinking 27-24, but if it's 27-24, if you're a Bears fan and it works out this way, do they take solace in the fact that Robbie Gould hits a last-second field goal?
No,
against Patrick Mahomes' team, who
right.
they should have drafted.
Who they should have
right.
drafted.
Who they should
one,
have drafted,
two, three,
you know?
Four.
Yeah,
so no
the guy that
it.
Got away
yeah.
gets beat by the guy that got away.
If I'm a Bears fan on the Super Bowl, I'm going to bet at 5:18 p.m. Just not even watch.
And
yeah,
because
they could have traded for Garoppolo,
and you'll
too.
Still lose because both trucks will break down, buses will break down on the way.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be
house. Just go to bed, wake up on Monday.
There you go.
Just go to Pato. You'll be all good.
Thanks all season long to everybody that followed us. We can't say thank you enough. It has been a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous season. We say thanks from the bottom of our hearts. Another great one. Thanks to our friends at Bud Light, who has been with us for 21 years now. We've been together with Budweiser. And thanks to them. Thanks to all the bars along the way. Thanks to the New Berlin Ale House. Thanks to all of our guests, Bart and Billy Schmidt, and everybody that joined us all throughout the season. Thanks to Chris and the gang at ABC Audio Video, who every year give us a terrific prize, and they get it taken care of, and they make somebody very happy by putting that thing in their home, getting you ready for the big game. Thanks to Sam Schmitz, who's been producing the show for quite some time now. Time for us to go. For the last time, we'll get back at it in the season of 2020. Have a good one. See ya.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.